This is the captain. If you haven't opened your door yet, you can now open it. You must walk to the right end of the corridor, the end with a purple light over the exit door. You then walk through that door, and to the next door, and open it.
Men came out of each door, 6 men in all, counting Rock. The men looked awkwardly at each other and nodded. Sanders seemed to recover and smiled. He walked toward the purple sign. They drew apart to give him room.
Hey, come on! Don't any of you men want to have something good happen? Come on, let's have fun!
Rock followed. They all filed into a long hallway that wasn't as well lit, but was more comfortable to the eyes than the harsh light of their corridor. Rock, Sanders, and the others came to another slide-up door. Sanders put a thumb just above the door lock and drew it up. Rock's mouth opened in astonishment at what the slowly opening door revealed. A setup for a party. Balloons on the ceiling, red and blue. A bunting-decorated banquet room containing a long table with 3 chairs on each side. On a dais was another table, this one with 3 chairs. In front of each place setting at the lower table was a dish with food that steamed, and enticing smells rose in waves of seductive warmth. Food. When was the last time he ate? Rock hadn't eaten a good meal since before he slept with Cometa on Venus. This was like finding gold in a tar pit.
Do you think they'd bring us this far so they could poison us? This all just looks too good.
No, it'll be a whole lot worse than that, guys, when they get around to finishing us off. This is the good part, to make the bad part that much worse.
Rock was already on his way to a place setting to the right. He forked up some meat.
Pot roast, or synth roast at least. I think I'm going to enjoy being on this prison ship for a while.
Of course he said that because he suspected that guards were listening in. The meal wasn't like any that Rock had ever eaten. Only the sight of the empty chairs at the table on the dais kept him from enjoying completely a truly scrumptious meal. Over his synth coffee, Rock looked around at the others. They had finished and were leaning back, well satisfied.
Hey, at least we've all got a good meal under our belts.
Well, you have. I've never seen anybody eat the way you do, kid. Like every bite was heaven on a plate.
Yeah, you probably haven't got much stomach trouble like the rest of us. The stuff they give you in Venus prison could kill a space pilot.
I've eaten all these fine dishes before, not too long ago, and they all tasted half as good.
A dinner like this, a Jupiter Work Release Detention Center, I could believe. On a prison ship? Well, a dinner like this, this has got to be paid for in some way. And in heavy credits, too, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'd feel a little better if we'd had bread and water instead of being fattened up.
Oh, come on, guys. Aren't you all just being a little too
The prisoners all turned towards the dais. Corporal Dovine stood behind a table, his shiny skin reflecting the ceiling light. 2 attractive girls in modest blue dresses were seating themselves in the other chairs. They folded their hands demurely before them and modestly cast down their blue eyes. Neither was as pretty as Cometa, and Rock lost interest in them for the moment.
I'm going to assume that all of you are resentful at having been brought forcibly aboard. I ask you to remember a few facts about our destination before you go overboard into testing it and those of us who live there. No doubt you're all aware that life on an asteroid is always hard, that asteroids have been settled only because of overpopulation on larger planets. I wonder if you understand many of the problems involved in creating a livable space on an asteroid. I trust that the good meal you have been given will dispose you to thinking about this. For example, there is no atmosphere on Esmeralda, as that word is generally understood. The air you will breathe is entirely artificial. There is no true sun, no moons. In order to survive with the benefits of technology, all of you who will live on the asteroid must take pills that have the side effects of making your skin gleam, as mine does. I have been told that the result, cosmetically, is considered bad by many of those on Earth and Venus, and even by some spacers. Life on this asteroid revolves itself into patterns of hard work. I, too, will live there most of this year and work hard. Even such amusements as we have aboard this ship are absent there. I think you can understand, those of you who have been imprisoned elsewhere, that amusements on this planetoid, because they are hard to come by, thus are cherished. Those who provide the scant entertainment are highly regarded. In your cases, all of you, and I assume that you would rather hear about yourselves, are to be sent there to work hard, as do all the many fine natives of this asteroid. If you succeed, honor and glory and a lifetime of freedom without want will be waiting for you. If you fail, none of those desirable consequences will be yours. Not one, not even a longer lifetime. It will be over for your miserable lives. I hope I've made myself understood. You'll have a chance, a perfectly fair chance, to obtain what you want, but you must work for it. I would imagine that there would be a certain dissatisfaction among you. I'll accept questions.
The prisoner at Rock's left, a mournful-looking 50-ish man with very few teeth, spoke up.
What work have we got to do?
I'm afraid it will take a day or two once we land before we can sort that out, for reasons entirely beyond my control. In the meantime, you are the guests of our spacecraft. Eat well, sleep well. I regret that there is no work for you on this short journey, but that condition will soon pass. Believe me.
I've done enough work in my time. A little relaxation is what I need.
A few days of total leisure will make Esmeralda much more interesting. Are there any other questions?
Yes. Is there a Mr. Zerano involved in this? And when are we supposed to meet him?
I must give a truthful answer to each part of that question. No, there isn't a Mr. Zerano involved. However, you will meet Zerano in the course of your involvement in the entertainments, if the Warden President of Esmeralda decides that.
This Zerano seemed to be a thing, not a man. Rock absentmindedly touched the moon-shaped medallion hung around his neck. Protection against Zerano.
All right, then. Is Zerano something that's not human, and that we're all going to be involved with?
The answer to both questions is in the affirmative.
Oh, Lord.
I think that will be all for the questions. Everything you want to know is going to be answered shortly, perhaps sooner than you might wish. Are there requests that haven't been anticipated? Is there anything you want that you can realistically be given now, and in the terms of your short stay here?
I want the company of a woman.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, a blonde with curves.
Women will be provided, but only for brief spans of time. I regret that, but any consort has to earn her credits. You have only a small number of credits each, the pay you have coming for good behavior. So be good, and we'll see.
Rock was a bit amazed. Women were to be provided?
If all of you will return to your rooms, women will soon be with those of you who ask for them. These two women here are available for 30 credits per hour. You don't get to choose which one. Thank you for having listened to me so courteously.
Rock thought that the man's eyes lighted briefly on Sanders, and then Dovine walked off the dais and out a suddenly opening door. The two women who'd sat with him so passively now got to their feet and followed, after a momentary pause. The room was quiet once more. All eyes had followed the women.
So I guess we should head back.
Yeah. Hey.
The burly man touched Rock's shoulder with a hard hand. Sanders, not saying another word, only pointed at the flap in Rock's one piece that had received the gray square of Audi writing a while ago. Rock nodded. He walked on into his room, noticing that his wall mirror had been taken away in the half hour's absence. He held the gray square firmly in his hand.
Now, how do I work this thing?
Hey, buddy, there's something you've got to know.
Whoa, that's pretty quiet.
He held the square to his ear.
There ain't no more room for workers on Esmeralda here. Once we land, pal, we've got to get away before the Zerano gets us. Anything's better than that. I've heard stories from men who wouldn't lie to me. They're deserted places. Badlands on that asteroid where a man can hide. Now, in order to get away...
Come in.
He smiled at the girl who walked in, even though she wasn't Kemeta.
My name is Ketem. Let us begin.
Is that Ketem with a K?
No, with a Q.
Q-U-E,
Q-E-T-T-M.
Oh, how exotic.
If you say so.
She was the one who had sat at Dovine's right side. A good-looking girl by any standards, she wore an attractive green low-cut mini-outfit. Barefooted, she probably was a little taller than his 5'11", which Rock didn't mind at all. She could have been any age, from 20 to 35. The shiny skin made it hard to tell with any certainty. She flopped on the cot, as if she wanted to be finished with the work ahead as fast as possible, and started to unbutton her outfit. He was still trying to figure out her name when she peeled off her panties, looking at him expectantly, suddenly utterly naked.
Do what is normal and necessary.
Rock wasn't like that. He insisted on being slow, making diversions, touching her in this place and that, prolonging the ritual so as to please her as well as himself. He knew he was slowly bringing her close to the heights of ecstasy. She responded, and they began doing what they both now desperately wanted to do. When it was over, Ketem's shiny skin was slick with sweat.
There is no charge. And I want to stay, so that you can do that another 100 times. But I have to go. I'll come back soon.
I'd like that. When?
I will return, if possible, in an hour.
Now, they were friends. Her cold gray eyes had changed and become a warm pair of baby blues.
Never was a man so kind to a girl. I never had any pleasure from the sex act.
Oh, now I can't believe that.
No, it's true. On Esmeralda, sex is performed because children have to be made, or because some people find the pressure of not doing it for a while to be intolerable. Only so much time is allotted for sex during a month, and after that, you have to get out and do your work. It's the system, for citizens as well as prisoners. It is, they say, for our own good. With you, though, I wish sex to last for many months. There's no one like you on Esmeralda. Something about being with you is different from other men I've known. Goodbye, until the next time.
Not until she was gone did Rock lazily remind himself that he ought to have asked about the Zrano. The Audi writing was still available to him, of course.
Well, so what do you have to say, Sanders?
I've heard stories from men who would lie to me. Now, in order to get away, we have to meet in the main square called the Concourse as soon as possible. The code for the door is 7352. The first one out on the asteroid will try to get all the others to join the escape. 6 have a better chance of making it. There won't be any trouble putting the guards out of commission. All it needs is a few sharp-edged metallic objects and a little guts. From the minute we get back to our rooms where they take us, we've got to get busy. Hide something sharp in your one piece. Remember, our lives depend on it. Remember, it's escape or the Serrano.
Escape? Is Sanders insane? How the hell are we going to get out of here if there's no ship nearby to fly us away?
Despite his misgivings, Rock was curious. He went to the door and opened the panel. Nobody was in the corridor. No prisoners, guards, nothing. And Sanders' door was wide open.
Sanders!
Rock guessed what he would find inside Sanders' room. And sure enough, the room was empty, all right. It was as if Sanders hadn't ever been there.
Going somewhere?
It's all right. I knew Sanders would tell you the code to your door. You are forgiven for your curiosity.
Where's Sanders?
We let him take a stroll.
Stroll?
Yes, outside. Without a suit. He was plotting. It had to stop.
14 hours later.
Now, step inside, please. I hope that the last one will close the door.
There were only 5 of them now. The mournful-looking prisoner with only a few teeth was the last in, and did what he had been asked. Roxon noticed with relief that all 4 other prisoners had come in response to the order to report to Dovine, so Sanders was the only one jettisoned. The dining table had been taken away, and 5 chairs faced the dais now. 2 dull gray boxes had been set down on the table in front of Dovine, 1 at each end.
You will all be seated.
There will be no need to discuss Sandoz at this meeting. Is that clear?
Rock was the only prisoner to sit down so that the bright ceiling light wouldn't batter down on his head.
You've killed him?
No, he had a fair chance to survive. Not as fair as some of you will get, but as much chance as he deserved. He tried to escape in a shuttle capsule, and he hadn't properly sealed its airlock. So, I didn't do anything. Not really. Just let him escape.
I don't believe you. You killed him.
Nope. I'm innocent.
How do we know?
If I was guilty, I would have been arrested. Now, please be quiet and watch.
A large view screen lit up the room and showed a picture of a gladiator-type arena. The arena was empty, though the seats were full. Rock felt his muscles knot up at the sight. He had the feeling he didn't want to see this tape.
What in the name of hell's going on? What is this stuff?
Well, we're probably gonna watch the Vizzy flicks like a bunch of damn kids.
Well, at least it's something to do, Jansen. I didn't get a prosody visit. I had no good behavior credits, and I've been biting my nails down to the armpits without anything in the way of work.
Please, Roxon, Jones, Rielk, Jansen, Horse, watch.
On the screen, the camera panned up, showing an expectant audience of about 500 people in the arena, maybe more. Rock wondered who the guy with the whole box to himself was. He was old, looked mean, and was dressed sort of like Nero would have been. Laurel wreath and all.
Who's that guy? That's the warden on the goddamn prison asteroid. He used to be warden on Venus. His name was Langdon.
Hey, look now! There's the bottom of the arena! That's where it's all gonna happen. Whoever it is.
It's gonna be like one of those shows you see on Venus Blue where two guys beat each other's brains out.
No, it's not. Look at those gates. One very big, and one about human size. Reminds me more of an arena for those Spanish bullfights. But that gate is way too big for any bull I ever heard of.
Something dark was coming out of that large gate.
That's no bull. It's only got two legs. God, what is it?
The thing, a massive black shape, stayed in shadows. Out of the small gate came a naked, well-muscled man.
He's turning back to the little gate, like he'd give anything to be back on the other side.
Oh, poor bastard.
Having guessed what was going to happen, Roxon watched Dovine's expressionless face. The face of somebody very, very evil.
Man, look at that other gate, the big one. Something's coming now, whatever it is, it's huge.
Rock saw a dark, immense shape moving in the shadows, and then nothing. The camera panned down and avoided giving a clear shot of the thing. The camera centered on the naked victim with his back against the sharp, guard-held pikes that had propelled him into the arena.
I can't see. What the hell's he so scared of?
Well, my guess would be Azrano.
Oh, the guy's got no place to run. It ain't fair.
Well, if it was me out there, I'd run like nobody's business.
You? You'd probably shit the damn thing to death.
Dovine, why is this being done?
You should understand that, of all people, it is a punishment. A simple pleasure for the audience. A punishment for the victim.
Is the sight of a man's dying horribly your idea?
The people of Esmeralda, you realize, work very hard indeed. It shouldn't surprise you if they want to watch others suffer a bit too. This is a live broadcast, by the way. Many prisoners on Esmeralda have volunteered to face the Zwano. They think it's better than living there.
Has anybody ever survived the Zwano?
Oh, yes, indeed. There's a gentleman who died very recently of old age who had met the mother of this Zrano. Zranos are living fossils. Monsters, very rare indeed, with quite a lot of credits. I might tell you, if it's of interest, that there will be no descendants of this monster, alas. The rules of biology are immutable, and the birth of this Zrano resulted in... difficulties.
This game would be over quickly, Rock thought. The monster, its form obscured by a blur deliberately placed in the transmission, located the victim's quaking form and was moving toward him.
Oh, my God.
drenched in blood. Now the camera showed the audience on its feet, all cheering. The camera panned back to the scene of battle. Now the blurred-out monster was obviously stepping on what was left of a human. The man's head vanished under one of the huge, clawed feet. Rock didn't look away. If he was to face this thing, any information he could gather could mean something, could give him a slim chance, if only it wasn't a complete blur. All the men were looking awkwardly in Dovine's direction, waiting for him to speak.
When do we go up against it?
The games are held every month, except for a special meeting like the one you just saw. Special meetings happen very rarely, only on holidays. Today is Planetoid Day, so we were lucky, weren't we?
How much time do we have?
You all will face the Zerano Tuesday, the next scheduled meeting.
Well, in 4 days? But we can't possibly learn to beat that monster in such a short time. We want to work. Please, come on, I'll be good.
You will have as good a chance against the Zerano as anybody, prisoner. More than that, no one on Esmeralda could offer you. You'll be armed. Armaments are chosen by lot. Some are better than others.
That's not enough. You're sending all of us out there to die.
But Dovine had turned and was already on his way out of the banquet hall.
But I want to work, not die. Why didn't he say we were going there to work? Why?
There's only one reason. Sadism.
Attention, we have now reached Esmeralda. Walk out of your room and toward the exit. You will be transported to your new area.
Hey, buddy. You ready to see your new home?
Well, not for long, I'd hope.
Let's hope it's past next Tuesday, right?
Right.
I'm Reelk.
Roxon.
Roxon, eh? Any reason you call that?
Nope. It's my real name.
You can call me Skinny Jones, because, you know, I'm skinny.
I see.
I'm Jansen. I'm here because I got in a fight with a cop back at Venus.
Yeah, did you win?
If I had, I wouldn't be here.
So you're Reelk, Skinny Jones, and Jansen. Dovine said your name, but I can't remember it.
Horseface is my name.
Ah, is that your real name?
Well, the horse part, yeah. My parents named all their kids after things they read about from Earth. My sister's named River. I got two brothers named Bluff and Butte.
And the face is just a nickname.
Well, I suppose so. Just kind of comes with the territory, I guess. I don't think I really have a face that looks like a horse's, but...
No, you don't. Ooh.
Better than horse breath or horse butt.
Yeah, you got that right.
Take your seats. The jet car will be moving shortly.
The jet car took them from the landing site past gray fields and rickety-looking cubicle houses toward a looming arena. The one they had seen on the visiscreen, no doubt. The planetoid looked like a vast city. The colors of the cube-like buildings were bright pink and gold. As they started to slow down, they looped into one cube building's lobby. Rock saw that the inside was a series of natural pastel shades with a carpet of artificial grass. Rock had formed a different impression from the visiscreen pictures, expecting some grim exteriors, dark interiors. But this place looked cheerful and was well kept. People strolled by, smiling, looking happy, well fed. Many were couples. Several guards with max stun guns watched them.
Does anybody smell that?
Smell what?
The air. It smells like shit.
Follow me, sir.
Oh, okay.
This way. Inside.
Smells a little better in here.
Show me your right arm.
What?
Your right arm. Hold it out, or you will be punished.
Fine.
Excellent. This bracelet will ensure your cooperation. Unlike the last man to die, you will be able to train against Serrano. You have a chance. Now come to the arena. Disobey, and the pain bracelet is activated.
Rock, as he followed, wondered if the obedience bracelet around his right wrist was infallible. Maybe the pain that was transmitted to it if he disobeyed was endurable. He deviated slightly from the suggested path.
You see? Now please, stop playing with us.
Rock returned to the straight and narrow and found his eyes moving toward the wide gate ahead, which turned out to be the northeast gate of the stadium. It connected directly to this building.
Hey! Stop coughing!
I'd love to.
Haven't you been given tiblets?
Given what?
Every Esmeralda native takes tiblets to prolong life in this artificial air environment.
Is that the stuff that makes everybody's skin look as if it'd been shined? No thanks.
It prolongs life and makes the smell go away. Here, take these two pills. I will arrange a regular shipment. They last for 24 hours.
And if I don't want to take them?
You will slowly choke to death in this air.
Give them to me.
You're Roxen, aren't you? Niles Roxen, famous playboy. Follow me, I'll fix you up.
Do I have a choice?
He walked behind the guard and over to the lowest circle of hard blue spectator seats. They had come right out into the stadium proper. Some men were being led into the arena below the seats now. They were the prisoners from the ship. They were all dressed in gladiator gear. Some had nets, some swords. They began to practice, swinging their weapons towards a large object. Rock squinted, but it seemed that the target was the same size and shape of a blurred-out Zrano from the earlier video. But this target was just as blurry, and now there wasn't any reason for it to be.
What's up with the target?
Oh, that's the Zrano. We put it up so people can learn as much as possible about the thing before fighting it. We don't like it when the fighters just stand there and piss themselves like the last guy.
But how are they supposed to learn about the Zrano when the target's so fuzzy?
What do you mean?
The replica, it's blurry. I can't make out what it looks like. How do you do that, and what's the point?
I'm not following you. It's as clear as day.
But it's... Oh, never mind.
But the object stayed fuzzy. It was like his brain was simply refusing to figure out just what his opponent looked like. Like a dream.
Hey! What's that on your neck?
Huh? What?
The locket! What is it?
Rock looked down and saw the trinket Kameta gave him the last time he spoke to her. She had said it would protect him from Zrano.
It's just a little trinket that runs in my family.
Hey, the source of your playboy powers.
Why are all the prisoners down there while I'm up here?
They're being instructed about what to do about the Zrano. It's not for you.
Why can't I be with them?
You don't know? I suppose you don't know why you were made the subject of a special game.
To pay more for my serious crime of playboyism?
Yes, but more than that. Dust from a destroyed Audi writing tablet was found during a search of your room. You were actively plotting with Sanders, part of a conspiracy to escape.
Huh. And I suppose I'm going to be punished by having less of a chance against the Zrano. What will my weapon be?
You'll have more of a chance than your friends. Come on! We'll go join them. You can listen to what the others are told, but you can take no part in the physical exercises they go through. Orders.
The trainer was a huge, leather-outfitted man whose long red hair was combed almost like an ocean wave. He stood with both feet apart as he spoke to the prisoner trainees.
All right, listen up! You're gonna run around the surface of this arena to develop your familiarity with the total area. That'll be helpful to keep you from getting overexcited when Zrano is facing you. We will run first, and then we'll walk, and then we'll run again. Now follow me, everyone except Roxen here.
The exercises, such as they were, Rock noticed, posed no problems for most of the prisoners. But Skinny Jones was sweating furiously before they had moved halfway down the length of the arena. Rock was aware of an occasional envious glance in his direction from the men in the wide pit, because he didn't have to do anything except listen. He touched the blue medallion pendant on his chest. He had no idea what the trinket would do, if anything. But if Kometa had wanted him to have it, he would make sure he kept it.
All right, that's good. Take a breather.
Hey, why doesn't Roxton here have to run?
Simple. He's special. He doesn't get the train.
Is that good?
It's not your concern. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'll spend the balance of the week repeating so as to jam it into your ears in hopes of understanding coming to y'all. The Zrano can't be beaten. It can be cheated of its prey. A man who's both smart and quick can do it. That fact makes the encounter a sporting event, you see, and keeps the people of Esmeralda both alert and interested. It's possible for this reason. The Zrano has strength and size as well you have seen, but not true intelligence. It is the human beings who have that. You must bear that fact in mind and use your innate common sense.
Wait, but what good is brains against something like that?
And the purpose of the contest is to find out and give the citizens a thrill at the same time.
Give us some help. Tell us its weak points.
Back in the year 2096, a man put one arm into the previous Zrano's mouth, cracking a number of its teeth. Beast wrenched that man's arm out of its socket. But it was so angry afterwards that it lay down in the middle of that arena and wouldn't continue with the game. Zrano's have pride.
Shrewd one, all right. Fellow who lost his arm, I mean. Did he,
Yeah, he lived. And well. For the human player, as I have pointed out, the objective of this game is to survive. Period. Survive, and the world is your oyster. But the arm trick won't work anymore. That Zrano was old. As to the how of the survival, that's up to you. A man who died not long ago of old age managed to kick the old Zrano so severely that the beast was unable to retaliate for a long time. The game was declared finished by excessive overtime, so he won. Let me point out that you only need to survive for 20 minutes. That second player, the one I just spoke of, he trained on Earth as a dancer. He was extremely agile. You can do anything to defeat the monster. You've got all the latitude in the world. Dirty tricks are fair play.
Oh, that's good.
Rock peered over at the model of the Zrano. He just couldn't manage to focus on the thing. Just trying to stare at it was giving him a hell of a headache. Roxon was given a small, clean, single room in the upper area of the arena. He had a nice soft bed, and he fell asleep at once when the light was shut off.
Pleasant dreams, Roxon.
You will remain there for 50 years.
It was all a dream. Must be stressed out from the trip here. could use another couple of pills. 50 years?
A routine was worked out for them during the next few days, which was comforting somehow. Roxon and the other prisoners would wake up, join together for eats and drinks, then go down to the arena floor. The others would train, and Rock would read or watch. Then they would see Visiscreen films of previous meets with the blurry monster, eat again, and spend the balance of each night in their rooms. God knows the others complained they had nothing to do there, but Rock was given a pile of books he requested. Rock spotted a window slit high in the arena, so he knew when it was day and night outside, and the exact stages in between could be observed by anybody who could catch a glimpse of the guard's impressive gold wristwatches. Really, though, the day was a matter of artificial lighting, and darkness followed on exact schedule. Rock found himself in a state of rising edginess that didn't involve thinking of the Zrano at all. He finally came to conclude that there was only one way it could be alleviated.
Hey, buddy.
Yes?
You guys had mentioned, women.
Yes, I believe Dovine had made an offer.
I wanted to take you guys up on that. Preferably a girl named Kedem.
I'm sorry, but she would be unavailable tonight. Perhaps another one?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever cunt you got hiding back there.
Nevertheless, Rock made love happily to her and to the different girls he was sent every evening. He was astonished at the proficiency of the women. They were all green heads. Fiery, Esmeraldan green heads. Word quickly got around after the first two women. They were asking the guards to arrange a meeting with him. The third girl had come in only after hearing the testimonials from the first two. Roxanne was making lots of female allies. The fourth night's visitor showed her gratitude in another way, pleasing both of them additionally in a manner that Rock, for all his playboy experience, had never encountered. The Esmeraldan position. It involved some very odd angles and would be difficult to explain. By the second week of non-training, Rock was calm and loose. Rielk, the toothless prisoner with a mournful expression, had ventured to take on a locally grown steak at supper one night, while the pudgy Jansen was stoking himself with two different meats and a regimen of Esmeraldan sprouts and vegetables. The food was extra good this night, and that made Rock suspect the worst. The training was over. None of the life-preserving tiblets were offered to the prisoners this night, most likely because they weren't expected to survive their all-too-soon encounter with Israno. There wasn't any point wasting any of the pills on them. Rock was eating lightly. If he was right, he couldn't risk being sluggish. Jansen noted Rock's slackness at eating.
This is it, isn't it, Mr. Roxon?
Just a guess.
You know, you'll be sorry now you weren't toughened up by training. I've heard that you've had a different girl every night. A weakens one, you know. You'll probably be half asleep in the arena facing it.
Well, in that case, I want to propose a toast to the cook, who did a great job for us this time. He served us an excellent final meal.
Yeah, a toast to the man who served us our last meal.
Nah, I got a better one. A toast to the Serrano. Will get us out of this miserable training. The sooner the better.
Hey, no need for this crap. How about a toast to the enjoyment of all the senses? I drink to pleasure, gentlemen. Here's to pleasure, and not to monsters. We who are about to die salute pleasure.
To pleasure!
To pleasure!
Huh? Well, a little early today, it looks like.
Hello, Mr. Roxon.
Oh.
I have come to discuss the request you made to a guard this afternoon, asking for Audi writing materials.
Is there any objection? I get women, books, why not Audi cubes, or a pen and some paper at least?
Not in principle, of course. It's fine. You said that you wanted the Audi writing to go to your friends on Earth and Venus.
Certainly.
But why send them anything? To what purpose?
So they'll know what happened to me.
Will they care? Surely they have their own existences to plan, their own selves to provide for. They certainly wouldn't welcome the taint of a letter from a heinous felon.
Oh, they'll care. I was famous back there.
Even if they want the messages you send, it may take a number of months until the Audi writing can be delivered. Our rockets don't make many trips in that direction.
Am I being told I can't have some means to write letters?
No. People of influence have given you a great many privileges. I wish that was not the case. However, you will soon face the Serrano, and then all the privileges will be no more.
Dovine left without formal farewell, his usual habit. Several tiny gray Audi writing squares were brought in shortly afterwards. With the door locked behind him, Roxon pushed the lower toggle of one cube to the left.
To my family. This is Roxon here. I may be dead by the time this gets to you.
He touched the base of the Blue Moon Lucky Medallion at his throat.
Unless a miracle saves me, I won't have died in war, but on account of a retroactive law against playboyism. It's a shame my life should have been so short, and that I'll have lost it when I've just started to really enjoy so many things. But I can't complain too much. I've had some very good times, and given back a lot of enjoyment to others. I've eaten, drunk, made women happy, and taking the big and small pleasures without hurting anyone, not even myself. That isn't a bad thing to say about somebody who's likely to be dead very soon. Don't think of me the way I'll be when you get this, but the way you knew me. There. Now I'll just give Dovine the address and... Dovine!
No! No, it's me!
Ketem!
I've managed to convince Dovine to let me visit you. It is, after all, your last night. I figured it should be a good one.
Rock didn't get any sleep at all. The wide, smooth-running jet car took the prisoners past artificial pines and mini plastic hills on the flat asteroid, on toward a huge dome. They were led into the new stadium itself, then down a badly lighted hall to a fair-sized assembly room. Four guards, along with Dovine, were waiting for them.
Hello. I think that all of you are as well prepared as you can be, except, of course, for Mr. Important. Whatever could be done by indoctrination and training has been accomplished. You have your chances. May your skills be equal to the great task.
The mournful prisoners' faces didn't change. They all looked at their punishment bracelets with disgust.
A message for Roxanne has been sent by my co-worker, Kimetta Langdon.
Is it a pardon?
The message is simply this. May the end come quickly. That's all.
Thank her for me. I'm touched.
Oh, I will. But I personally hope that the end comes slowly for all of you. Farewell.
Damn. I wonder if we should find some way to chop off our right wrist and try to escape.
Follow us. You are going to the small holding area, where you will soon pick up your weapons. They have all been chosen by lot for you. All that remains to be done immediately is for you to choose the order by which you will enter the ring.
The guard opened a small drawer and took out five small, identical shards of metal. They were shaped like throwing knives, but were dull and heavily worn. They wouldn't do anybody good in a fight. The man spread the five blades in his palm.
Each of you will pick one. A cluster of dashes appears on the other side of every stick, and the numerical total will determine the order in which you will go into the arena. These ceremonial sticks have been used at every Zorano game for the last 30 years. They're sacred objects.
Yeah, they're sacred. And life ain't.
You, take the first one.
Me?
Yes.
He did so. Horseface immediately turned the object around to see his number.
Two.
You, Reelk, you're next.
Four.
Oh, man. That's the worst spot, because the monster's warmed up.
Jones, you're next.
Well?
I'm five.
Three. I'm in the middle.
Aw, damn.
So, you're one?
No, I'm three.
Wait, I'm three.
We know that. Both of you, show me your numbers.
Here, take a look.
Yeah, we're both three.
I must have taken a double accidentally. Here. Here, you're number one, shithead. Take it.
And how is that fair?
Ah!
What the hell?
Take it. You're number one.
Well, it's always good to have a fan.
First man, you're to leave now for the floor of the arena.
The mournful-looking Ryuk turned toward Rock and drew out a hand.
Hey, I never told you my first name. I'm Berkey. It was a pleasure knowing a playboy. Best kind of crime, if you ask me. I was a gambler. Declared retroactively illegal in... Oh, I'm sure you'll be all right.
Thanks for the confidence. Where's my weapon?
The guard opened a wide drawer in another cabinet and smirked as he handed Roxanne a small toy tomahawk. Rock didn't blink as he took it. He had expected this move.
Follow me.
Suddenly, Rock and the guard were on the floor of the arena in the glare of the TV lights. There was an audience, maybe 1,000 onlookers, all healthy-looking, mostly couples. Roxanne was expecting a roar of approval or boos from the arena crowd. Instead, he got hushed tones.
Good luck, sucker.
Man, what do you think's happening? It's been nearly 20 minutes. Could he still be alive? And what happens if he stays alive? Do we all get to go free?
Yeah, it's been 20 minutes since he left. I know it's been 20 minutes. He made it, I tell you. That playboy lucky-ass bastard made it. And that does mean we go free. It's the rules.
Oh, shut up! He's been gone one lousy minute!
The walk to the center of the wide dirt floor of the arena took about a minute. He stood there with his silly tomahawk. He concentrated fiercely on the huge closed gate of the Zrano. It didn't come out. 2 minutes. What was happening?
Walk forward, Roxon. Face your death bravely.
He wasn't avid with curiosity to see the Zrano. His skin crawled at the idea, as a matter of fact. The warden was in the first row of the stands, behind plexiglass. Beyond him were seated row after row of shiny-skinned men and women, eager young couples watching his every movement. 2 children in the fourth row were open-mouthed. For the first time, Rock saw the 18-foot-high beast. 2 sturdy legs, a thick, chunky body, and a most natural tan color, almost like a tree trunk. 6 rows of teeth, 3 facing sets, the middle row like a jagged plank. 3 eyes, all red and glowering. The forehead had a single short horn 2 feet long. It had no hair, not a tuft of hair to be seen, just a few wrinkles on its tan hide. It moved very slowly, forked tongue flickering out as it came clear out of the gate. The beast didn't rush out, as it had on the visiscreen in the spacecraft. Probably the Zrano was a little tired of chewing human beings by now, one could hope. But its red orb eyes gleamed wickedly. The lust for blood, for death, remained strong in the beast coming toward him. Roxon could sense that. Rock risked a glance at the audience, but when he looked back at his foe, his heart skipped a beat. Instead of the bipedal creature, Rock was now facing a blinding white feline. Its huge ears perked up, 4 fangs coming from the front of its jaw. Its tail lashed in tension, then perked up as if to strike. The medallion around his neck started to get hot. He looked at it. It was different, too, somehow. It seemed almost to radiate light. Rock turned to the sound and saw what looked like a giant anteater, all slick orange and red fur, its claws extending the thing's reach a good 18 inches. It charged. The beast's claws dug into the arena. Rock took his chance, scrambled to his feet, and struck at the thing's paw. He looked up towards its face and saw it shift. What was once an oversized mammal became a nightmarish insectoid. Wings sprouted from its back and its rear legs thinned to become sticks. When Rock glanced back down at his successful attack, the paw was gone, and so was his axe. The thing's arms had turned to plated pincers. His ribs were sore, but he counted himself lucky that it had only clubbed him. The Zrano rose into the air, its 5-meter wings blurring to clouds. Its abdomen dipped down, and a bead of venom coalesced around its 6-inch stinger. Forget the toxin. Getting stuck by that thing would kill him. The medallion around Rock's neck started to grow hot, and he turned to look at it. But it wasn't just blue anymore. It was a picture. A picture of Rock, himself, inside a glass-walled coffin. Rock was blue, and there were needles and cables coming out of him. Boulders surrounded the coffin. It looked exactly like
my dream. This is a picture of the nightmare I had, but how? Is this a dream?
The creature started to come at him, but Rock felt an odd calm come over him. If this was a dream, this thing couldn't hurt him.
This isn't real. It can't be.
The monster filled his vision. He could see the thick hairs growing out of its segmented legs. Its stinger was pointed directly at him. Its compound eyes portrayed victory. Rock was about to be gored, but he didn't try to dodge it. The crowd didn't dare move. He stood his ground, and the monster passed through him. No wounds, no shock, no impact. The creature was not real. It had no form, just like everything around him. It was all a dream. But before he would will himself out of his nightmare, he had to prove that he was in charge. He had to kill Lizrano.
I need a weapon.
He looked to his left. There on the ground was his trusty shot pistol, perfectly oiled and full of ammo. Lizrano turned to face Rock again, confused by the sudden turn of events. Rock simply raised his shot pistol. The entire crowd rose to its feet in mad applause. He had beaten the creature. Rock bowed and raised his hand in the V for victory salute. The warden took off his laurel-wreathed hat and threw it over the plexiglass into the arena. Roxon put it on.
How dare you!
Huh? What?
Take him away!
But,